This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card, you can earn 5% back at Walmart online, 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants, and travel, and 1% everywhere else. When you want all that, you need the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One N.A.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a follow-up to our recent Prop 187 series. Former California Republican Governor Pete Wilson finally answers our request for a sit-down. Earlier this month, we brought you a special collaboration with the Los Angeles Times, a look into the legacy of California's Prop 187. That's the controversial 1994 anti-immigrant measure that helped turn California blue by alienating many Latino voters. Now, if you haven't listened to the Prop 187 series, you should really go back and listen now on our podcast feed.
The issue of immigration is setting the tone for a political debate in California. A voter initiative is likely to be on the November ballot that would deny public education and public health benefits to illegal immigrants.
Prop 187 would have denied state services to undocumented immigrants, including kicking out undocumented students from public schools from kindergarten through college. The measure was passed by voters, but it was never implemented due to legal challenges.
Portions of Prop 187 were to go into effect immediately, but court orders were issued today holding off the new law until its constitutionality can be examined.
Former California Governor Pete Wilson, who back then was running for re-election, played a big role in setting the stage for 187. Wilson based his re-election campaign on Prop 187 alongside a tough-on-immigration message.
California's Governor Pete Wilson called the state's immigrant and poor population tax receivers who take more than they give.
Pete Wilson recommended denying education and health care to illegal immigrants.
The problem is real. The public knows it, and they don't give a damn whether it's an election year. They want relief.
During production, we made multiple requests to interview Governor Pete Wilson for the series. And, well, the day that our Prop 187 podcast was released, we finally got a date for the interview on the calendar. So reporter Gustavo Arellano from the LA Times sat down to have an extensive conversation with the governor. But we're going to pick up that conversation when they're speaking about the year 1993, which is right before Prop 187 is introduced. I'm going to hand it over to Gustavo Arellano now.
I asked the governor, who's 86 now, to introduce himself. He does, and then I'll be honest. The first 20 minutes of our conversation are kind of wonky. But after that, it gets caliente. So then you flash forward to 1993, when you throw down the gauntlet. You say, okay, the federal government has not done its job on illegal immigration. I think we should end birthright citizenship. I think we should deny public services to undocumented immigrants. I think we should deny public education to undocumented immigrants.
My God, healthcare had mushroomed. I mean, in the 6 years from the COBRA legislation that made it possible for illegal immigrants to enter the country, 18-year-old women pregnant, go to the county hospital, have prenatal care, have delivery, post-delivery, postnatal care, and the children were, of course, citizens. That, to me, was wrong. And what you're going to find out is if you don't do a better job of controlling the border, it is going to be all over the country. And in no time, the estimate of the illegal population living in Los Angeles alone was 600,000, which then exceeded the population of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
These were people who were, frankly, living in shadows. That was wrong. I mean, what you want is immigration, legal immigration, where people become naturalized citizens, where they are required to learn the language, and that allows them and their children to become first-class citizens, to become assimilated, to be able to participate in both the culture and the commerce of their adopted country. And that wasn't happening.
With the 187 campaign, it's interesting because you didn't actually endorse it until, I believe, September during the Republican State Convention. And
I was urged not to by my campaign staff.
Why were they doing that?
Well, their attitude was, they said, listen, you're ahead, you're going to win. Don't do this because you're going to be introducing a new issue. And so far, it's been out of the issues covered in this race. It hasn't been one. And you will make it one. And, you know, damn it, it's not your responsibility. You didn't draft this thing. You didn't introduce it. And so why in the world should you get into it, run that risk? I said, because I'm the governor of California, and it is something that will dramatically affect my state. And the potential that we have is to finally get Washington's attention.
Did you think 187 would succeed in terms of, like, would it ever be initiated into law?
Because you bet I did.
It's interesting you said that. The campaign said, don't do 187. We haven't even addressed the issue. But in May, your campaign releases, you know, the They Keep Coming ad.
They keep coming. 2 million illegal immigrants in California. The federal government won't stop them at the border, yet requires us to pay billions to take care of them. Governor Pete Wilson sent the National Guard to help the Border Patrol. But that's not all.
For Californians who work hard, pay taxes, and obey the laws, I'm suing to force the federal government to control the border. And I'm working to deny state services to illegal immigrants. Enough is enough.
Governor Pete Wilson.
Talk a little bit about that. Who thought of the idea for that ad?
Well, I think the idea was pretty obvious. And I had a challenge of sorts, not much of one, in the primary. And that was an issue then. And my opponent in the primary was on the other side. That was why we did it, and to draw attention to the differences. And you disappointed me in one respect.
Okay.
That is, you, I think, probably because you were in high school then, and later as a reporter, went to the files and saw the same thing that I have read time and again about the grainy film. Well, They Keep Coming was simply a statement of fact. It was not pejorative, but it was a statement of fact, and the grainy film was INS film, taken with a night vision camera. So I guess it was grainy.
So you don't think that was racist?
No, I don't. I think it was a statement of fact.
What's interesting to me about that, in my podcast, I talked to Barbara and Bob Kiley, the consultants behind 187, and they said it, they thought it was racist, that when they saw it, their jaws dropped, and they said, it's probably going to help Pete Wilson's campaign, but it's not going to help our cause. Now, all of a sudden, race has been injected into a conversation that was just supposed to be about numbers, legal versus illegal. So what would be your response to that?
My response is that if they were consultants, they were not earning their fees, because in fact, what I intended to do was to make it clear that this was a real problem, and a problem of growing magnitude. And in fact, at some point during the campaign, probably several points, I said, if this does not succeed, if we do not get the Fed's attention and pique them into some kind of responsible action, then what is now a problem for the border states will be one for all the states. It will spill over first into the South and then into the Midwest.
Can you see why people think that ad's racist, though?
Well,
like, take someone like myself or a lot of people whose parents did come to this country illegally, and then they see, you know, footage with the voice, They Keep Coming, almost as it's a bad thing. So in the minds of some people, they're like, that they is us. So can you at least see why people think it's racist? You don't have to agree with that statement, but...
Yeah, well, I don't agree with
it. Obviously.
And what I think that people who were here, who are offended by that, might think did not alter the facts. And the facts were that there were also in California a great many naturalized Latinos who were doing just fine.
Do you think at the end of everything, here we are 25 years later, Proposition 187 won?
Yeah, 187 not only won, but it won by a landslide.
Well, of course. I'm talking about the bigger metaphorical picture. Did 187 win?
Well, if you mean, did it achieve its purpose? No, because, I mean, we knew it would be, suit would be filed the next day after the election.
Seven of them.
Yeah. That was not a surprise. It was an expectation.
25 years later, Democrats control a supermajority of the chambers of the legislature. How do you feel that so many Latinos directly credit 187 and your campaign against illegal immigration as inspiration for them to enter political life, to frankly become radicalized? I'll give you the example of my cousins. My cousins, they're construction workers, blue collar. All of our dads came to this country without papers. All my cousins are basically, they should be Republicans. They do not like taxes. They do not like snowflakes. They're not social justice warriors. But all they think about the Republican Party is what happened in 1994. They think about you. And in their minds, they remember, okay, a generation ago, we were told that our people, ourselves, were destroying California. I don't believe that. I'm going to vote for the Democrats, even though I don't want to. What would be your response to my cousins who feel that way?
That they have been misinformed, that they have been misled, that they have been told by the Democratic Party that they are being discriminated against by racists. That's been the line, and there's been no subtlety. And that is one of the things that I find beneath contempt, to deliberately mislead people like your cousins, who are good people, but who have been taught something that is untrue. They've been taught that they are surrounded by racists.
On the other hand, though, some of my cousins were undocumented. You propose them not going to public schools, and then people like myself not being able to get American citizenship because our parents were undocumented. So at what point are we supposed to believe you when you say we have been misled? With all that rhetoric, you could see an entire generation of people who came up with that, families being undocumented, like, hey, maybe we have an issue with Governor Wilson on all this.
Sure, I can see that, because that's all they knew. That's what they had been told repeatedly, and it's untrue, but that's what they knew.
But you did want to ban birthright citizenship and deny undocumented children from going to school, so that's what you proposed, at least.
What I wanted, yeah, because what we wanted and what the people who had done it the right way wanted, I mean, no one was more vociferous than Latinos who had become naturalized citizens. They resented others being able to cut to the head of the line.
So then what would be your response then to our family? Like, you're hearing this, you didn't do it the right way.
The ad that we ran said that there is a right way and a wrong way to come to America.
How do you feel about charges that Donald Trump's campaign or issue on illegal immigration is just a repeat of what you allegedly did 25 years ago?
Well, it's not the same in terms of tone. We made a concerted effort, and I challenge the members of the Latino caucus and everybody else. And every time I have ever challenged them to find one word that could be construed as racism in the campaign for 187, they have been unable to do so, and they come back to the...
They keep coming.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you know, unhappily, that was a statement of fact. And in the 20 years since then, it has been proven, or 25 years since then, that prediction has been proven true. And it's unfortunate. Listen, we as a nation are the most generous in terms of welcoming immigrants of any country in the world. We welcome them because we need them. We value them. You know, those who have come from other countries in earlier waves of immigration have not always been welcomed. Far from it.
Most of them haven't.
Most of them have not. Three of my four grandparents were immigrants to this country. I'm damn grateful they had the moxie to come. It was not easy. My maternal grandmother came at the age of 16 in steerage by herself. So I not only am not anti-immigrant, never have been, but to the contrary, value the continuing energy, drive, guts, the talent that has been brought to this country by people who came as legal immigrants. And the DACA kids, that's a little different.
What do you think about the DACA kids?
I think they came because they were children, because their parents, hoping for a better life for them, brought them. The problem with DACA is that if you recognize the DACA kids, and I would, the problem is that once you grant amnesty, you encourage future illegal immigration. And that is what this comes down to.
Do you think 187 ultimately created the California we're in today?
It certainly helped. Yeah. And frankly, the California we have today needs fixing, desperately needs fixing. Listen, the vote for 187, by the way, wasn't just Republicans. It was an awful lot of independents mm-hmm. and a lot of Democrats.
59-41.
And in fact, at one point, there was a report, I believe, by the Los Angeles Times that a majority of Latino voters in the state, I think your story made that point, were for it.
And then at the end, 73% voted against it.
Well, that's because every day, they were being told that they were victims of racism. That is an ugly smear and an untrue smear. That is why I can think it beneath contempt.
A lot of people, when they hear this, they're going to be angry at me because they said, you had the chance to interview Pete Wilson and you didn't scream in his face that he's supposedly a racist. On the other hand, a lot of people will also be upset at you saying you actually granted an interview to someone who said all these bad things about you.
They're wrong. I welcome the opportunity to have this discussion. And it's because I think that what is most important is that people do understand that they are not surrounded by racists. And that a lot of people who disagree are not racist. They are people who, frankly, have been made so uncomfortable they've left the state. That's what this story was all about.
Pete Wilson served as governor of California from 1991 to 1999. And what will be Wilson's lasting legacy, at least for many Latinos, is that he's a man who supported a proposition that, in their eyes, centered on dehumanizing immigrants, who are our family and our friends. Our thanks to Gustavo Arellano, Abby Swanson, and Mike Heflin from the Los Angeles Times for bringing us this interview. If you want to hear an extended version of the conversation, check out the LA Times This is California podcast. The Battle of 187 is a collaboration between the LA Times and Futuro Studios. This episode was produced by Miguel Macias and edited by Fernanda Camarena and Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Sofia Paliza Carr, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Alisa Escarce, with help from Ginny Montalvo and Maya Cueva. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our digital team includes Julio Ricardo Varela and Amanda Alcantara. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Fernanda Uriegas. Our interns are Adriana Tapia and Juan Diego Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, I'll see you on all of our social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
But then I'm the one who then created an entire career out of writing against 187 and everything else. So in some ways, I do have to thank you.
You should. But it's high time that you got over it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from HBO's latest series, His Dark Materials, based on author Philip Pullman's beloved trilogy. Follow Lyra's quest to find her kidnapped friend, an adventure that leads her to uncover a sinister plot of a secret organization, encounter extraordinary beings, and protect dangerous secrets. Starring Daphne Keene, Ruth Wilson, and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Don't miss His Dark Materials, Mondays at 9 p.m., only on HBO.
A new reason to get up on Saturdays.
Because now Up First gives you the biggest news of the day on Saturdays, too.
NPR's Morning News podcast expands to your weekend every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern. I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro. Start your day informed 6 days a week now from NPR News.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, the story of hashtag Merced2, how one teacher sparked a Me Too movement in a local high school district in California.
It was concluded that a male colleague did in fact engage in highly inappropriate behaviors.
That's next time on Latino USA.